Oh, the kids are going to head downstairs and get out of costumes, and then we're going to invite you all to join us downstairs after for some treats, and you can meet all the actors, get signatures, whatever you need, and stuff. Put it on your wall. Yep. I just wanted to share just a little short message this morning. That we've been looking as we've been going through our Christmas series. We've been looking at the prophecies of the Messiah. How Jesus didn't just come out of nowhere. My favorite Christmas verse is 1 Peter 1:20, where it says that he was known before the foundation of the world and made manifest in these days for your sake, you know? And we've been looking at that, just how incredible it is that God prophesied from the moment that Adam and Eve, you know, rebelled and brought sin into the world. From that moment, God started to tell us of a Savior. And you see, he made promises to Abraham that when he chose that covenant people, that all the ethnos, all the nations, all the peoples of the world would be blessed through Abraham. And we know that's through Christ. He brought the gospel that we as Gentiles, you know, we get to be part of that new covenant, children of God, because of Jesus. The covenant he made with David, that one of David's descendants would reign forever and ever, right? And how could that be? Israel was not a nation for so long, right? Multiple times. And yet we know that that's fulfilled in Christ. He is the King of Kings in the line of David. And he will reign forever. And we look forward to that day when he comes to establish his kingdom fully. And then last week we looked at the prophecy from Isaiah saying that a woman would conceive and bear a son, right? And how a virgin would conceive and bear a son. How could that be, the virgin birth? And we saw how important that was, that Jesus, to be our substitute, to take our place for the punishment of our sin as humans, he had to be fully human, and yet he couldn't have that sin nature, right? And so how is God going to fix this dilemma and fix and be true to that promise? And he did it through the virgin birth, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and grew up to be our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. And so we're going to carry on in Isaiah, and we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 7 through to 9 is this. The people of Israel were in a dark time, a really dark time. That's kind of the theme of these verses. Israel's in a dark place. They'd been rebelling and rejecting God for a long time, worshiping idols, and God had sent prophets like Isaiah and others to say, Don't keep going down that road. Don't keep going that direction away from God. Turn, repent, return to him. But they didn't listen. And so Isaiah lived both before and right up to where the Assyrian Empire came in and conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and into the exile. Isaiah was alive for that. And God gave this prophecy that as they're being led away into captivity, right, this is the prophecy that they would have heard. And this is from Isaiah chapter 9. If you want to look in the Bible and in the chair in front of you, it's page 572. I have it on the screen there. But it says this: "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory." So it's talking these regions, Naphtali and Zebulun, that was the very north of Israel. And so many of those conquering empires came in from the north. And so he gives this picture of this place. The north of Israel is just going to be, it's in a time of darkness, right? There's going to be a light. There's going to be a glory that fills it. And it was all part within this prophecy of this Messiah is what all those chapters are talking about. And you just put yourself in the shoes of these people that are being led away literally into captivity. They're literally walking into darkness, into the unknown. They don't know what's going to happen. They're being taken from their promised land that God had promised them. They've lost that. They're walking, taking 250 miles as the bird flies to Assyria, okay, to Nineveh. That's where they're being taken away to them, to an unknown future, literally walking into darkness, right? And they're going to need to live in a land of deep darkness is the picture that the prophet gives here. But for them, that was literally true. They were going to a place that didn't worship God, this ruthless empire that was conquering everything in its path. They were going as captives, as slaves. They didn't know what awaited them. That was their reality. And I just wonder for us, as we talk about this darkness, is there any, can you relate to that at all? Is there any unknown in your future? Is there a situation you just don't know how it's going to work out? It's dark. You can't see the light. You can't see what's going to happen. Maybe it's a health concern. Maybe there's surgery coming up. Maybe it's a family situation. I don't know. But is there any darkness? Is there anything? Or is there anything that you feel trapped? You feel enslaved? You feel a captive to? That's the kind of the darkness that we need the light to shine into. And for 700 years, Isaiah wrote that 700 years before the Messiah came. For 700 years, they waited for the answer to that, for that promise to come true. We ask ourselves, after seeing the Christmas story, how is it that a baby born in a stable in a tiny little town, Bethlehem was a tiny little town in Israel, this small part of the empire, how is it that that baby would change, would bring light to that darkness? Well, the prophecy continues on, and down in verse 6, it says this: "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us." We read this one all the time at Christmas, right? Never stopped and thought about that? Isaiah writing this 700 years before, right? A child born to us. That's obviously Mary, you know, baby Jesus being born of Mary. We know that's what we just witnessed in the play. "And a son given to us." What's that talking about? Who's giving their son? That language sound familiar at all? Any verses coming to mind? Anybody? Shout it out. Thank you. I heard it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." We start to get this picture that this darkness isn't just the circumstances of their life, because it is that, right? Those things that we go through, those trials, those difficulties, those darkness, that unknown, is a result of sin coming into the world and breaking what was perfect, what God created. It's often a result of the fact that we're separated from God, the fact that we don't know what's going to happen, and we're unsure of our futures and that. It's because, or it's things that have taken you captive. It's sin, right? It's because we're separated from God, because there's some distance there. And so this darkness isn't just those circumstances, but it's sin itself. And we start to see this picture that Jesus was sent not just to get us out of our bad circumstances, but to resolve this issue, this darkness of sin in our lives. And so he came to bring us eternal life, to save us from eternal death, from an eternal darkness, and bring us into the eternal light. Jesus grew up from that baby. He didn't stay a baby, right? He grew up and became a man. He didn't start any kind of ministry till he was like 30. Till then, he was just kind of growing. He was a good Jewish man. Grew up, was a carpenter. At some point, Joseph, his dad, he lost his dad. We don't know when, but sometime between 12 and 30, he lost his dad. And carried on, became a man. And then he started into his ministry. And he gathered some disciples, right? And Matthew was one of those disciples that walked and talked and watched everything that Jesus did and then recorded it for us. And we have it today, which is amazing. And he's one of the ones that recorded the Christmas story along with Luke. But he wrote this. And for Matthew, he's able to kind of look now. He's met Jesus. He's seen Jesus be the Messiah and demonstrate. And he's been there with Jesus in this ministry where Jesus is starting to tell the world, reveal, "I'm the Messiah. I'm the Savior that Jesus promised," or that God promised. Jesus is that Messiah. And so just if you jump over to Matthew chapter 4, this is right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And it says this: "When Jesus heard that John," that's John the Baptist, "had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. And he went first to Nazareth, and then left there and moved to Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali." Places sounding familiar? Recognize those names? Why? Matthew picked it up. "This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah: in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined." I just love that. I just think it's incredible that here again we have 700 and some years later, and how perfectly Jesus fulfilled that. He starts his ministry exactly where Isaiah said he would, exactly where God prophesied through Isaiah would happen. And for those people now, the Israelites, the Jews, now 700 years past when Isaiah gave that prophecy from God, 700 years later, they're still living in darkness. Now they're under the rule of the Roman Empire, just as ruling just the same way with an iron fist, just as much captive and just as much darkness, heavily taxed. And so they too are sitting, waiting for, how is this Messiah? Where is the Savior that's been promised? How is he going to come? What's he going to do for us? They sat in darkness. But you can see it's more than that already here. We see, and for those who lived in a land where death cast its shadow. We're starting to see that picture now. Matthew understands. He's been walking and listening to Jesus. He knows that it's more than just liberating Israel from the Romans. That the Messiah came to save us from something so much greater. From that eternal death. That sin is the result of sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The Jews were also trapped in their sin, just like we're trapped in our sin. The Jews were in need of a Savior, just like we need a Savior. And that's who the Messiah is. When Jesus came, that's the message that he preached. You know, he didn't say, "Grab a sword, let's go take out the Romans," right? This is the message that Jesus preached. This is the next verse. Matthew 4:17 says, "From then on, Jesus began to preach." This is kind of the message of his, if you were to summarize the message of his whole ministry, this is it. "From then on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" His preaching was repent. Repent means to turn, you know. And we've got these people we're living in darkness. If you could just take that imagery for a second. Right, that picture of without Christ, we get up, we're born as babies too, right? And we start to grow up, and you're just trying to figure out life, right? And it's kind of like being in the dark. You're growing up, and you try this, you try that. What is it? You're looking for purpose. You're looking for meaning. You're looking for answers to what happens when you die. What's the truth of that? Is there anything? Is it just turning back into dirt, or is there something more? Why has every society ever seemed to believe in some kind of afterlife? Where's the truth of it? That one says this one. Where's the truth? And you're just kind of looking. How can I know? And you're going around. You're looking in the dark. And then this picture of Jesus being the light. Just picture that. It's like the big spotlight, and you shine it on, right? This is the way to go. And Jesus claims to be the one who has always been. He's the one who created you. All things were created through him. And he says, this is the way. And so we're on our way going down this way. And he says, stop, repent, turn. But then it's not just, hey, thank you for the salvation, you know. And I can carry on now. You just picture that. If someone's going to has the light and they're shining this way, to walk in the light, you got to walk where they're shining, right? Or if they're going to lead you, you have to follow. And so Jesus needs to be more than just hey, thanks for the forgiveness of my sin, for paying it. You need to follow him. He becomes your Lord and your King and your Master. And that's why it says, turn to God. Turn to him. Follow him. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is near. And this is where we're reminded of that picture that Jesus is that King of the eternal kingdom forever. Right? He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And he will, it's his kingdom that is going to be forever. And he has made a way for us to be part of his kingdom, to join him, to spend what we were created for, the very purpose that humans were created to have relationship with God. He offers us to have that eternally with him through his death and resurrection. And so he preached, the kingdom of heaven is near. And even that part, God gave Isaiah part of that message. If we go back to Isaiah chapter 9, that verse finishes like this, and you know this. We sang it in one of the songs. The youth girls sang it for us, the lyrics to that song. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. Right? There's going to be a day when he's the one that rules not only over all things in heaven like he is, but what happens on earth, you know, he's going to, it won't be under worldly powers and authorities, but he will be the worldly power. He will be the authority and who we obey and follow. Will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called. And I just think, you know, how amazing is it, Matthew? We get the ability to look back and see how these things are true of the Messiah, right? We have that perspective. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor. Isn't that true? Because Jesus came as a baby and lived a perfect human life, he's like our counselor. We can see this is the life that God designed. This is the life he wants you to have. This is how to live a life that's in relationship with God. Just do what Jesus did. Follow him. He gave us the perfect example. He's our wonderful counselor. And at the same time, he's mighty God. And when he's here for his earthly life, he demonstrated that, didn't he? Raising people from the dead, opening blind eyes, deaf ears. The example I always like to tell when I was in Africa, that there was lepers there. We don't have many lepers here, but lepers and their fingers and noses and stuff would fall off, leprosy in advance. That's one of the things it does. And so I always picture when Jesus heals the lepers, like, you know, he, like, isn't that, just picture that. Like, the power that he showed. Mighty God, everlasting Father. Right? Don't confuse this with the God the Father, okay? The Father for Hebrews was often a way of talking about the originator, the source, right? And we know the New Testament teaches us how all things were created through him, right? And not only that, he's also the source of our salvation. He's the source of eternal life. And the Prince of Peace. The greatest thing Jesus did was that he brought peace between us and God. We were deserving of wrath, right? We offended and turned against everyone, has turned against God and against a perfect, holy God. And it's something that we can't pay for. We can't save ourselves. That's why we need a Savior. And so he's the Prince of Peace. He is that Savior that brought us that ultimate peace between us and God. And his government and its peace will never end. And he'll rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. There's that promise again, reminding us, for all eternity. That picture, that's the yet to come, isn't it? That's the part of the promise. 700 years before, we're at 2,700 years. We're waiting for that one, aren't we? And as we sit here today, the Jews were waiting for their Messiah, right, to come. We're waiting for him to come again. Amen? We're waiting for him to come and make all the things right. We still live in that. The theologians call it already, not yet. Jesus is bought and paid. It's sure. It's coming. But we still live in this world where there's still brokenness and there's still sin still has an effect. And yet, we've already been freed from that through Christ. But we don't get to realize it just yet. And we're looking forward to that day when he comes back and makes all things new. Amen. And he will rule with fairness and justice. Every person is going to stand before him someday, King Jesus, and be judged with fairness based on God's perfect holy law. How can we know that's true? Well, it says the passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. And this is where, as we've been going through this series and looking at these prophecies from the Old Testament and how God so perfectly fulfilled them. Doesn't that give you confidence? If God fulfilled the first Isaiah 9:6, isn't he going to fulfill 9:7? Say amen to that. We look forward to that day. We can see how God perfectly kept his promises to this point, and so we can know with confidence that he's going to come back again. And so this morning, as we just sit here and reflect and contemplate Christmas, the coming of the Messiah, the one that was promised from before the foundation of the world, but made manifest for your sake, as we remember that day when it's like when God put his plan into action. I love that's what Christmas is for me, when God initiated that plan and the Savior was born. If you don't know that Savior personally, there's so many things at Christmas time that we can distract ourselves with. You know, But if you don't actually know that Savior personally, if you're not sure that on that day when he judges with fairness and justice, that he's going to say, yeah, that one, they put their faith in me. They accepted the free salvation I was offering. They're one of my children. They're part of the covenant. Come on in, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. If you don't know that, if you can't confidently say that, then I encourage you to seek out who is this Jesus that came 2,000 years ago, and what did he do for you? And there's lots of people, I'm sure, that would love to share that message. And then for those of us that are confident in that, what an opportunity we have at Christmas time to share that message, to share that light, to picture for anybody that's stumbling in the dark, to say, hey, I know the answer. This is where the light is. Come this way. And it's going to be the life of the most joy and fullness, because it's the light of the God who created you. It's the very purpose that he made you for. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. The youth girls are going to lead us in that song again. And I just want you to really, really pay attention to the words. So, man, I do my slides. I write my sermon on Thursday, sermon writing day. And Friday, I do the slides and run through it. And so I was here while they were practicing. The kids have been practicing. And I have not been able to listen to that song without tearing up since that morning. And I just want you to pay attention to those words. And can you sing them with conviction and truth? Do you know those things to be true for you? And if not, I think God would put a hook in you that you can't get out until you get the answer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you came. That in your perfect timing, in your perfect plan, we step back and we see how perfectly you put all things together. That when all hope seemed lost, when all was dark, that glory came and light filled the earth. And so, Lord, I pray that for us as a church this Christmas season, that you would help us to shine that light, shine through us, Jesus, to those that you've put in our lives and those that you've put around us. Might they come to know the truth of the salvation that you brought. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.